You take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of John in chapter number 10. And continue another week at least in looking at Christ never preached doubt. Got a few more thoughts we may share in the next couple weeks, but as the Lord leads. But in John in chapter number 10, and we're going to read some different passages, some different places. So put something right there in John 10, and that's where we'll spend most of the message. But now let's go over to 2 Timothy in chapter number 1. Alright, so we're going to go and spend the majority of the message in John 10. Look at a couple of verses with me real quick. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And in verse number 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12. Paul says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Paul knew, he believed, that God was able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Salvation is God's gift to man. That when we receive that gift, God said and He promised that He's given to us eternal life. And we can count on that, we can trust that, we can believe that. Turn back to Ecclesiastes, all right? Go way back, all right? Ecclesiastes. Told you we're going to look at a few verses, then we'll jump into things. But Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, and then Ecclesiastes in chapter number 3. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. And in verse number 14, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 14, says this, "I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it." It says, "I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever." Turn back to the left a few more pages to the book of Psalms in chapter number 3. Psalm in chapter 3. Psalm 3 and in verse number 8. Psalm 3 and in verse number 8. Says this, "Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people." Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Of course, we know Ephesians 2, verse number 8 and 9. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." In Titus chapter 3, in verse number 5, it says, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us." We've established from the Word of God here tonight, and nothing new, but we've seen it once again, that salvation is not of man, but is of the Lord. Salvation is not of man, but is of the Lord. Now, you may be sitting here thinking, "Well, of course, we know this. Amen. Go on." Yet, any time that the devil tries to get a believer to doubt or to bring confusion upon their life, the foundation must be tore up that my salvation isn't upon the Lord, but upon me. Otherwise, what is there to doubt? Our salvation is the Lord's. It is what the Lord has done. Salvation is a gift from who? God, from the Lord. Salvation in Psalm 3:8 belongs unto the Lord. "For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy." Who did the saving? He saved us. So salvation is an act that God does in our life. Now, when we, after we've put our faith in God, and the devil tries to say, "Well, you didn't do it right, or you didn't do this, or you didn't think right, or you didn't know this," what is the devil trying to do? He's trying to put the basis of your salvation upon you and not what he has done. Salvation belongs unto who? The Lord. Now, what is our part? John chapter 10, we'll look at this tonight, and this is where we'll spend the majority of the message, in John chapter 10, and we're going to start reading in verse number 23. In John chapter 10, and in verse number 23. Look what it says with me real quick tonight. John 10, 23, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. They accused Christ of bringing doubt in their life. Let's see the Lord's response. Verse number 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. Right there is the synopsis of everything. He told us. Their doubt did not come from anything the Lord said or didn't say. It was the fact that they didn't believe. And so he said, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Let's pray. Father, I pray that, Lord, you just give us liberty tonight. I pray that you'd help us as we look at the Scripture. I surrender myself to you, my thoughts, my everything. I ask you, Lord, to remove, Lord, any sin that is unconfessed. I believe that I come tonight before you clean. But God, anything, I pray the Holy Spirit reveal it in my life. And that God, and Lord, I would be an instrument that is clean and usable of you. And Father, I pray that, Lord, you'd speak to hearts tonight. Lord, I know this is a simple message. But Father, salvation truly is simple. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you've done and the miracle that you work in our life. Help me, please. I do want your blessings and your words only. And Lord, we just give it all to you. And we ask you, Lord, to bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to look at this tonight here about our salvation and what Jesus says about salvation here. I want you to see, first of all, and this is very simple, but I want you to see it in verse number 25. Now we already established the fact that salvation belongs to who? To God, to the Lord. It's His. Alright? It's His work. It is a miracle that takes place that He performs in our life. And so, what is our salvation then based upon? What do we need to... And the Lord describes it here. First of all, I want you to get these just three things real quick. Number one, it is based upon His Word. It's based upon... Salvation is based upon His Word. Notice in verse number 25, it says, I told you. I'm thankful tonight to be able to tell you that salvation is simple. I'm thankful tonight to be able to tell you that salvation is clearly written out in God's Word. You know what I found is this? Confusion when it comes to salvation is hardly ever over what the Bible says. Confusion is always about what people say. Confusion is not because the Bible makes it very clear. The Bible says there in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall what? Not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. That's a promise that God has given to us. He has given us this promise. Here later on in our text, it says in verse number 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never what? Perish. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Bible says, whosoever. I'm thankful today that anyone and everyone, and when we put our faith in Jesus Christ and we believe in Him, the Bible promises that He gives to us eternal life. The question is never about what the Bible says. The question is always about what different people are saying. I'm thankful tonight to be able to tell you that salvation is based upon His Word. It is founded upon the Scriptures. It is not what I do. It is not what someone else's word says. It's all upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He has told us what salvation is. We just said John 3:16. Look back in John chapter number 1 real quick. We'll come right back, so keep something there. But in John chapter number 1, look at this with me real quick. John 1 and verse number 12, the simplicity of Scripture. John 1 and verse number 12 says this, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God." Now how do you become a son of God? "Even to them that" what? "Believe on His name." Again, we've already said Romans 10:9-10. We've already referenced when the Philippian jailer said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul said this, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Someone asked me, and maybe they'll ask you, "How do you know that you're saved?" Can I tell you the best answer you can tell them? Ready? The Scriptures tell me so. It is based upon the Word of God. Salvation is not based upon me. It is based upon the Word of God. Now, understand, we're about to talk about my part in salvation, which is nothing I do. But the fact is this, everything, my salvation, is all because of what the Scriptures teach us. The Bible says so. Scripture authority. The Bible that we hold in our hand, this is important, the Bible that we hold in our hand is our authority, it is our foundation, and it is all that matters. We should love and search the Scriptures. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 165, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." When we base everything upon the Word of God, it will give us peace. I promise, if you study, if you're sitting there saying, "I don't know if I'm saved," get in the book. Get in the book. You read the Scriptures, and the Scriptures will tell us. The Scriptures tell us plainly what salvation is. Can I tell you what the problem is? One of the great problems that we have, especially in this country today, is this. We don't want an absolute authority. We want to question everything. Even the Bible. Well, what does it really mean? Or that's a subject for debate. No, it isn't. What the Bible says is absolutely true. A Barna Research 2012 said this, that nearly 75% of Americans do not believe in an absolute truth. 75%. And really, when I read that, that didn't surprise me. I mean, everybody's doing what they want to do. I mean, please tell you stop. Why? I mean, you know, don't break this law. I'm going to do it anyways. People just want to do what they want to do. They don't like authority. They don't want authority. So they do what they want to do. So that didn't surprise me. What did surprise me is this. The same research said that 50% of the quote-unquote born-again Christians did not believe in an absolute truth. 50%! 2012, look it up, Barna Research. 50% of, I don't know what their definition of born-again Christian is, but it's got to be close. But even if it, but the fact that they claim to be a Christian and do not believe in an absolute truth. Today we want to do what we want to do. We want to base everything on how I see it. It's how I interpret it. It's how I think it should be. And what that does is leaves everything open for debate and confusion. I mean, if you just decided there were no speed limit signs, everyone would have a different opinion what the speed limit should be down the roads. I mean, right here in front of the church, some people would be like, 80, right? Why not? Right, Brother Jordan? I've seen you at noon when you're on break, right? There goes the truck. Running as a by, right? You know, we all have a different opinion. Well, you know, if it's up for debate, make it what you want to. But you know what? There are absolutes out there. There is speed limits. There are rules. There are laws. And the fact is, and all those things pushed aside, the Bible is the absolute authority. If you believe what the Bible says, it will give you peace. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So my salvation is based upon the Word of God. I'll get to why that's important in just a minute. Number two, back in John chapter number 10, salvation is based upon the Word of God. It is based upon now my belief in the Word of God. In John chapter 10, verse number 25, Jesus said, "I told you." Aren't you thankful He's told us what we need to know? That's a blessing. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful God didn't say you need to go to heaven and then leave it empty. Figure it out. We'd all be in trouble. But He's laid it out. I told you so. Here's the problem. You believe not. Now, some people want to try to, you know, what's that mean, belief? Belief's an act. Again, I'm not going to dissect these words because it's so simple that, you know, the 7-year-olds in this room, the 8-year-olds understand what I mean. It's us adults that try to figure these things out, right? The word belief is just an act of the mind, an act of the will, and an act of the heart. It's believing that I'm a sinner. Believing, it's what you believe about yourself and about the Savior. That really is what the Bible teaches. When He talked to Nicodemus, He had to show him that he was a sinner and that he needed a Savior. When He talked to the woman at the well, she needed to see that she was a sinner, but she needed a Savior. Throughout all the Scriptures, that's what's taught, that the person must see that they are a sinner, but praise God, there is a Savior. And that person alone is Jesus Christ. So we must believe, first of all, about ourselves, that we are sinners. The fact is, the Bible says, there's none righteous, no, not one. The fact is, every one of us, for all, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then we not only see ourselves as a sinner. And let me tell you, that's one of the things that is a big hiccup with people. Now, they'll look at you if you're sitting there, you know, maybe the two of you, and you're sitting there and say, well, have you ever done anything wrong? Well, yeah, I have. Most people will at least come to that. Now, 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, sometimes you're like, no, I'm perfect. You know, I've had them look at me, so Bobby, you've never done anything wrong. Never. You know, I just want to look at and say, well, you're lying right now, right? You know, and most adults will look at you and say, yeah, I've done things wrong. We've all have, haven't we? But here's the problem, ready? We won't bow our head and confess it to God. Well, because it really doesn't matter. Brother Davis tells me he's done things wrong. I can't do nothing for him. There's only one reason why he wouldn't bow his head and confess that to God. He's very prideful. And he's not come to a place where he's willing to trust God. Many will sit down and tell you, well, yeah, I've done things wrong. But I would never. I mean, I've seen children deal with this, right? Well, yeah, I've done things wrong. But they would never, you know, come forward and bow the head, stand before people and say, I trusted Christ as my Savior. Pride keeps people away from God. God resisteth the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. We must believe, I am a sinner, and believe that Christ died for my sins. Salvation is those believing those two simple things, that I am a sinner and I believe that Christ died for my sins. When we see ourselves as a sinner, when we see ourselves as someone who has transgressed, if you will, use fancy words. We have broken God's law. We have broken His commands. And you know what? We all have. The day I got saved, I knew about salvation, but I had to come to a point in my life when I was willing to say, God, I am a sinner. I make a choice today to trust in You as my Savior. And you know what? I was willing to let the world know. I was willing to let the world know. I was willing to let my entire church, who probably figured I was already a Christian, let them know that I was not saved and I got saved. It was me believing, and when you're willing to truly believe in Jesus Christ, just as Romans says, your mouth will confess unto salvation. That mouth doesn't do anything to save you. It's just a natural reaction. The person who has believed in their heart and God has made them righteous, they are willing to say, praise God, I trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Do you believe? Do you trust God? We could try that. You say, well, dissect the word. I don't need to. Do you believe that you're a sinner, that Christ died for you, and you are willing to trust Him with your soul? The Bible says these people didn't believe. They knew a lot of religious terms, but they didn't believe. And the fact is, when we believe and trust in Christ, Christ saves us. It's based upon His Word, it's based upon our belief, and it's based upon a fact. The fact there is in verse number 28, I give unto them eternal life. Now, you got to come down to one of two conclusions. Either God lies or He doesn't. And I'm thankful today, again, that the Bible tells me it is impossible for God to lie. And He said that His sheep who have believed in Him, God has given to them eternal life. I'm thankful it's based upon what He has promised. He has promised me eternal life. And I'm thankful, too, it's also based upon where He put us. Don't you love what the Bible says here, where He put us? Love where He places us. Look at the verse real quick in verse number 28. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So where are we when we accept Christ, when we believe in Jesus Christ? Where are we placed? In the hand of Jesus. Praise the Lord. You're in a pretty safe place. The very same hand that created it all, the same hand that can touch and has power over everything, you're placed in that hand. Praise the Lord. But that's not it. Isn't it a wonderful thing? There's even more. It says in verse number 29, My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Love that. I'm not only, the day that you got saved, not only were you placed in Jesus' hand, but you were also placed in the Father's hand. What a wonderful, secure place to be. You'll say then, how does the devil make us doubt? Because God's not the author of confusion. He says it very clearly. If you believe, and we see from other scriptures, we believe that Jesus Christ came to die for our sins. Believe, just that, believe in that name. Peter said there's no other name given among heaven whereby men can be saved. But Jesus Christ. Well, where does the confusion come from? The Bible's so clear. We'll close with this. Turn over real quick to 2 Thessalonians and we'll close. 2 Thessalonians. Well, I'll tell you what, let's take a pit stop real quick. 1 Corinthians 13. You were on the way. 1 Corinthians 13. I like this verse. Obviously, God's not the author of confusion. The devil brings confusion in our life. I'll throw this in there too. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is desperately wicked. Our own thoughts and human reasoning will bring wrong thoughts into our mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, just want to see this. Verse number 12 says this, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Can I just pause real quick and tell you this, all right? According to that scripture right there, I like that scripture, but according to that scripture, there are some things, because right now we see through a glass darkly. When we get to heaven, we will understand it better by and by. There may be some things in our mind right now that we think, I just don't see how that's possible. And you know what? I'm there too. Me too, right? Do you got it all figured out? I don't. Now, I understand what I need to know. But when I get to heaven someday, I'm going to say, it all makes sense now. Right now, because we are in these human bodies, we have this human mind, we are surrounded by this world that we live in, we see through a glass darkly, but someday, face to face, and we'll see clearly then. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? So you say, well, I haven't got it all figured out. Honey, you never will. That's why it's called faith. We believe. Now go on over and we'll end here in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. So where does the confusion come from? How do people get confused? How does it happen? Listen, if you're a human being, the devil's going to try to confuse you. Every pastor, every deacon, every church member, every Christian that's ever lived faces these things. The devil tries to trip us up. He tries to bring confusion and doubt. He did the very first couple that ever walked on this earth, and he's done it to everyone since. The devil wants to bring confusion to get you to doubt God, because if he gets you to doubt God, it makes you powerless for God. If you can't trust the God that you served and who we read about and talk to every day, then what do we have? So the devil tries to do this to handicap Christians. And here's how he does it in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. I give you a little preview of what's going on here, in exact context. But in 1 Thessalonians, that's a book that Paul describes, the Lord's coming back. Don't you love the book of 1 Thessalonians? Great book. Right, the Lord's coming back, sound of the trumpet, talks about the rapture, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Well, when it's time to get to 2 Thessalonians, the reason Paul had to write this letter is because they were facing great tribulation. They were being persecuted. They were facing things, really a lot more than what we face. People facing death, people facing trials just for their faith. And so it was brought up, you can read this in the book, but it's brought up that they were in tribulation. And so someone got up and said to the Thessalonians, we missed the rapture because we're in tribulation. And they said, something's bad wrong. So Paul wrote the book of 2 Thessalonians for that purpose. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we'll jump right in there, verse number 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. These people were very disturbed. They were confused. But look how they got confused. Same way the devil tries to bring confusion in our life too. Neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter. The day of Christ is at hand. Paul said, he's not come yet, but he's coming. But where did their confusion come from? Their confusion came by spirit, word, and letter. The devil uses the same three things today. Spirit, that's a little S. Anybody see that? All right. That's a demonic working in lives. If you're saved today, the devil cannot possess you. Every one of us should amen that. If you don't amen that, then you need to meet a demoniac that one time was. Talk to Mary Magdalene when you get to heaven, and they will encourage you to amen the fact that once you're saved, the devil cannot possess you. Praise the Lord for it. But what he does do, just like he did Eve, he loves to whisper in your ear. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's the one, remember before you got saved, when you were standing in church and you were sitting there in the pew and you knew you needed to be saved, yet something said, just wait. What will people say? You can do it later. That's the whisper I'm talking about. The Bible says he is a liar and the father of all lies. Now, in order to be the father of all lies and a liar, you have to be speaking things. Follow me? So he's whispering. He's the one that whispers in your ear and says, you can't win. You can't. You're not. God didn't. There's no way. Now, I'm not going to spend the whole time preaching on the spirit aspect of it. The fact is this, you can go, 1 John tells us to try the spirits whether they be of God. You can have victory. I go back again, anytime you read the scriptures, when it comes to salvation, when it comes to even being trapped in sin, the scriptures and Jesus Christ has one message, yes, but you can repent and there is hope and there is deliverance. The devil wants to tell you you're doomed. You can't, you won't, you'll be destroyed. That's the message from the wrong spirit. The Spirit of God always points to truth and deliverance. The Spirit of God always points to the light. The spirit of darkness points to darkness and gloom and despair. So you try the spirits. If you're confused and you say, well, preacher, you keep coming back to this conclusion. I searched the scripture. I know. I knew I was lost, and I knew that Jesus died for my sins, and I believed that day. That based upon the Word of God, God gave you eternal life. Well, then why did I sit here and think, well, what if I did this wrong? There it is. The devil, the strong spirit, likes to bring it back to what you did, who you are, and put everything of your salvation on you. That's when you stand to say, no, the Lord Jesus Christ shed His blood for me. I put my faith in Him, and He has delivered me from the power of darkness and transformed me into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I believe in Jesus Christ, and I am His child. And I mean it, say it out loud. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So the wrong spirit, but then let's look at just two more. Nor by word. Now what was going on here? Did the devil see a young church? Let's go in that context. Did the devil see a young church and they started to say, we're in tribulation, we're suffering, have we missed it? And the devil says, you missed it. You were wrong. Now you have no hope. And the devil's lying to them. That's the wrong spirit. And then, according to Paul, somebody got up. Whether it be in their church or someone out in wherever, said, you know what? You know, you guys weren't right. And people use their words to bring confusion in their life. They started talking. That's why, church, listen real close. It is important where you get your spiritual feeding from. When you start listening to people and preachers who don't stand upon the book, who compromise on all kinds of things, and you say, well, they have a good point here, you better be real careful, because they can sneak a lot of lies and plant a whole lot of seeds, and you don't realize it till it's too late. I can give you a whole list of people who are on the radio, who are on television, who write all kinds of books, who have some really awesome points and some good things to say. But it's those things they're in error about. I've got family that I believe they're Church of God or Church of Christ. And I can sit in a church service sometimes, and you could, and I don't, but you could sit there and I might agree with 90% of everything that's said. But there's that 10%. When they say, you know, you gotta be dunked under the water to be saved. That's not what the Bible says. You can lose your salvation. No, you cannot. The Bible says that He gave unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. If you could lose your salvation, then Jesus lied in that passage of Scripture. And Jesus can't lie. Be careful who you're listening to. Be careful the people that you turn on the radio and listen to. Be careful about the preachers that you follow. And in the world that we live in, you can access it 24/7. There is stuff you can listen to constantly. On your phones, on your computers, on your radios, on your TVs, on everything. We have so much. You better be careful who you listen to. And one of the things that we as a church have to guard is anyone who ever stands up or even a sits down next door and begins to talk about spiritual things, we all have a responsibility to make sure it lines up with the book. And you can talk to someone and correct in love and in truth. But you let wrong things. Now, I've been at the church here since 94. All right? So, what, 22 years, all right? Been here at the church 22 years. I've seen, in my 22 years here, in the church, it's pressing on 50 now, but in my 22 years, I've seen people come in, seen people build a few little followers, I've seen people start to have their own little Bible studies, and I've seen people start to correct the preaching all the time at their homes, and those are wolves in sheep's clothing, and those words will lead people astray. Be careful who you listen to. A lot of times, even in testimony times, the devil will sit there and listen and hear someone else give their testimony and say, well, you didn't do it exactly like them. And they'll use people's words. I'm thankful for everybody's testimony that's saved.
Praise the Lord. And just like Samaritan woman, Nicodemus, and the Philippian jailer, they all had three different stories how they came to Christ. But they had this in common. They knew they were sinners, but they knew Jesus Christ died for their sins. Every one of us, we took the time tonight, took the next hour to each one of us share how we got saved and when we got saved. We'd hear a whole lot of different stories. But every true believer today in this auditorium would share these two things. I knew I was lost, and I knew that Jesus Christ died for my sins. Don't let people's words bring confusion into your heart. If ever you say, well, huh, then go to the book. Because man can be wrong, but God's word is always right. There's a third thing that brings confusion, neither by letter. What people write can bring confusion among people's lives. It used to be, when I said letter, and we read that, we just thought, you know, we get a letter in the mail. But most of us don't get letters in the mail anymore, except for bills, right? That's all we ever get. But my, we have never lived in a day when there is more stuff written by people for you to be able to read. I believe it's one of the reasons and part of being in the last days when the Bible says there'll be a great falling away. Because we live in a world today that any Joe Schmo can sit down in front of a screen and write their own opinion how someone goes to heaven and put it out there and have millions of people see it if they promote it the right way. Anybody. You don't have to write a book. You don't have to get a doctorate. You can just sit down in front of a computer. A 7-year-old can do it. And you don't even know where it's coming from. There's a group over in Indiana. I think Brother York found them. Group over in Indiana. He hates my guts, man. Hates me. Hates Brother Alexander. Ripped us apart. Ripped us to shreds. Called us names. Said we're heretics. He doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He doesn't believe that Jesus is eternal. He believes that there are four different ways of salvation to go to heaven. And he has probably over 1,000 followers, and I think all 1,000 of them wrote me a letter. They hacked into our Facebook page. They found everyone that followed our church and started sending letters to them and telling them that we were heretics, and they outright attacked us. I just deleted them all. Every time they posted something, delete it. Anyone can do that. But be careful, because there's so much stuff out there you can go into. It's Saturday, the Christian bookstore. You walk in there, there's a whole lot of junk in there. You better be careful what you read. People that sit down across the table that say, you know what, I have a lot of confusion. It always comes from one of those three areas. The devil's whispering in your ear, darkness and destruction. They heard what someone else said, and I read this the other day. Every time. The devil attacks on those three fronts. How do I combat it? It's based upon the word. The book doesn't lie. And when you get in the book, great peace have they which love thy law. The devil's going to try to confuse every one of us, and we'll all come across it. But one of the great things is when you get in the book as a believer and start reading these scriptures, it gives you peace. That's me. I am a believer. I trusted in Christ. He promised eternal life. The book gives peace. It's the devil in the world that brings confusion. He said, my sheep know my voice. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Praise the Lord for that promise.